Hey, deck builders. Get up to 15% back during the deck days of summer with Envision Outdoor Living products. Save on Envision Ridge Premium and Distinction Composite Decking with Cool Tread technology. Plus, max out your savings when you add fairway railing products to your next summer deck project. Save today on a deck that's crafted for tomorrow. Visit EnvisionOutdoorLiving.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the legendary voice of the Christian resistance movement. On this Friday, August 14th, 2026. And tonight, well, he's there. He's the guardian of the gate. He's the only one bold enough and brave enough to come in on Friday nights because. And tonight, we also, that's Mighty Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Pastor.
You ready to roll tonight?
I am ready.
You know, like John Wayne in True Grit and like Clint Eastwood in The good, the bad, and the ugly. And by the way, that good and that bad and that ugly is not referring to the three of us tonight. If it does, I'm the good. But anyhow, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, where do I fit in that, good, the bad, and the ugly?
You know, you and Andrew are going to have to work that out. But
watch it, Pastor.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie. I made you laugh. I'm happy. I made you laugh.
I'm glad you did, because I can tell you what's happening here. You just heard before I went on there how the music come on, and we saw the announcements come on the same time in the music, the confusion there. And so just tonight, I felt good all day long, and I get in here. And just as I'm getting ready to go, all of a sudden I start getting, I'm getting a chest cold. I can feel, you know how you get that feeling in your chest, that burning, and then I don't know what's going on here. But yes, I do. What religion worships on Friday night?
The Jews, the Sabbath. That's their Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night.
Who is that? Who did you say?
The Jews, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. Well, there's another one that worships on Friday night, and that's the Satanists. And I think that's who we have to deal with all the time. I think they're the one that's praying against us. I don't think it's the Jews praying against us. Do you? But somebody
no,
is.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Supporters of Israel.
And so, but anyhow, tonight, in fact, I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, this Sunday. People want me to announce it on Duty to Disobey. There's a film, a movie come out now, And it talks about that, and it shows that our military, what happened to our military under Joe Biden, and the COVID thing, and all of what took place to them with the drag queens and the trans things and all of that during to what happened under Biden with our military. But I'm going to take it from a different looking from God's Word, the Bible, because God's Word, the Bible, teaches on a duty to disobey. This coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we have an in-depth Bible study at 9 a.m. And then prayer meeting. We have a very, very in-depth prayer meeting, too, at 10 o'clock. And then we have fellowship time, and the regular service starts at 11:30. And I will be preaching, Lord's willing, lest the Lord changes it up, on duty to disobey. And so I got to get well so I can do that. I can't afford to get sick. I just can't. Anyhow, we got to get into the message. The title of the message, John, this week was When You're Left Behind, Is There Still Hope? When you're left behind. And we gave all kinds of scenarios this week about what it would be like to be left behind. The rapture takes place. And I had some people I found out that had never heard about the rapture of the church. And they were listening to the radio program for the first time, and so they were really very interested. But anyhow, we're going to pick it up. We went through all different kinds of scenarios that would happen if you found out that you were left behind. And here we just read about the two witnesses, and we looked into who those two witnesses could be or should be, and for different reasons. You know, there are some say it's Moses and Elijah. Others say it's who?
Enoch.
That's right. Because so, who do you think, John?
Well, I know Elijah for sure, because Malachi, the last chapter, says, "Before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I'll send you Elijah the prophet."
Mm-hmm. And so
now the other one's not mentioned, just Elijah's mentioned.
But they give you what they do, you know. Somebody calls down fire from heaven. That was Elijah that brought down fire from heaven. But now here's the thing. Here's why some say that it can't be Moses. Because Moses had died, and these two had not yet died, because they had normal bodies. Therefore, that's why they were killed. After 3.5 years, they were killed and left in the street for three days. So what do you say to that? You say, well, it couldn't have been Moses, because by now Moses would have been resurrected when Christ was crucified and the graves opened and they were all cut up. Moses would have been gone to heaven then. So what do you think?
Well, it's interesting, Pastor Ernie, when the Lord went to the Mount of Transfiguration, was it Matthew 17? There with him appeared Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, I see that. But they say, of course, that... Yeah. So, but those that say that it couldn't have been Moses, because Moses had already been given a glorified body. So, is that kind of limiting what God can do? Where is God's limitations? Because, I mean, does God have any limitations?
No.
So,
no.
So can we put him in a box and say, look, God couldn't have that, couldn't be Moses, because Moses had already died, and these two had not been. You can't kill somebody with a glorified body. So can we box God in on that?
I don't see Moses being left out if God wanted him there, Pastor Ernie. You know. I don't see any theological reason.
Well, the only theological reason is, like you it's according to Talmud that I wants to die and then the judgment, and then, but like I said, if Moses had a glorified body, he couldn't die a second time there. I mean, they couldn't kill him with that glorified body. So, but then again, if we stay to that, then we presume to know something we really don't know. And then we seem to put God in a box saying, well, you know, you can do anything, but maybe not this. So it's better to wait till we get to heaven. Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, it said God himself was involved in Moses' death there in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, I know. So
he was, that was a special, that was, he didn't die like everybody else. God was directly involved with Moses, so who knows how Moses was, Pastor Ernie. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I'm asking you. I figure if anybody knew, it would be you.
Well, I'm giving you my opinion.
All right. And it's a very good one, too. Let's get into the scripture. And so, don't worry. We got Andy to help us out if we get in trouble here. So let's start, and where we left off in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, we're going to talk about the beast out of the earth. And let's take it a verse at a time. So that's Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 11. And I know you're in that mechanical Bible, aren't you? Yes, I know it.
I'm there, Pastor Ernie.
Alrighty. Let's take it a verse at a time. So go ahead and read the verse 11.
All right. Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
Well, we already talked about the Antichrist. This is the false prophet. We know the Antichrist was a Gentile because he came out of the seas. And
right.
We know the scripture tells you wherever they come up out of it, the waters, the many waters, it deals with the Gentile nations in many places. So now here we know that he's a Jew because he comes up out of the earth. And how many verses do you think in the Bible there has tying Israel with the earth or with the land, the salt of the earth?
Oh, there has to be a lot, Pastor Ernie.
Over 100, I mean, a lot. Over 100 verses tying. Yeah, so we know that.
Yeah.
So we know that the false prophet is a Jew. Do you think he's a real Jew or an apostate Jew? We know that he can't be one of the sons of Abraham, but he could be the seed of Abraham. Right?
Explain that, Pastor Ernie.
Well, the Bible, the Lord Jesus referred to when he talked to the Pharisees about those that they were the seeds of Abraham, and Paul talked about it too in Romans 9. The seeds of Abraham are not the same as the sons of Abraham, that Abraham had many, many, many children, but the sons of Abraham are the Jews that referred to Christ as, that claim Christ as the Messiah, the Savior. And so that's the difference between the seed and the sons. Jesus referred to that too as being, they're the seeds, but not the sons of Abraham.
Okay.
And so we must think that it's got to be the seeds of Abraham. And he, go ahead, verse 12.
And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay, so we know that, first of all, when it says he spake as a dragon, we know in chapter 12 it talks about the dragon. The dragon is Satan, and now, do you know what I think of every time I read these passages, and then the earlier passage where it refers to over in verse 3, and I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I always think about those plaques, and I know I mention this a lot. During Obama's coronation, John, when he was elected, I was in D.C., and Pastor Paul Rowe and myself and some other pastors, and as we walked down Constitution Avenue, about every 50, 75 yards, there were vendors. I mean, the entire way down Constitution Avenue. I mean, we started down about 12th Street down there, and they had those plaques. And the plaques were about 14 inches high and about 18 inches long. And they had five slight ovals on those plaques. And it started, if you're holding one up in front of me and looking at it, the first one started about 8 o'clock. It would have been, it was Abraham Lincoln. And then at 10 o'clock, you had JFK. At 12 noon, you had Martin Luther King. At 2 o'clock, you had Robert Kennedy. And then at 4 o'clock, you had Barack Obama. Now, what did the first four of those have in common? Abe Lincoln.
Assassinated.
Okay. They were all assassinated, and they were all shot in the head. Now, why would Barack Obama, you have four of those guys were assassinated, four of them were shot in the head, why would Barack Obama put his picture on one of those ovals? By the way, those plaques went into about every black barbershop in the country. They were everywhere. I mean, I saw one in a bus company office when I was in a bus company. So why do you think Barack Obama, do you think that he was trying to send an esoteric message to us?
I have no idea. I mean, was he involved in it himself, of doing this? You know, I don't think he was.
Well, I think he would. If he wasn't, I don't think he would allow it. I mean, it would have been done.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel he was probably behind it. Okay. You know, remember who he said he was. He said,
"Yeah, he was like a messiah figure."
Yeah, he claimed. He said, "I am the one." Now, if you say, "I am the one," okay, and you pause after that, "I am" is a name for who?
That's the name of the Lord. I am that I am. That means he's everlasting, from beginning, no beginning, no end.
So if I say to you, "I am the one that you've been waiting for," what would you think?
Well, yeah, that's like a savior type thinking, Pastor Ernie.
And then he said, "I am the one that I've been waiting for." So he said, not only is he the one that people have been waiting for, but he's the one that he's been waiting for, okay? And so if you look at that with everything else in the Bible that talks about, because his name is mentioned in Scripture, Barack Obama's, and we talked about this way back when he was running. We talked about it. And so,
Pastor Ernie, remember, I think it was in Denver, he had something about the election, and they had like a replica of a
Zeus.
Greek.
It was Zeus. It was the temple of Zeus.
Yeah, do you remember that? I vaguely remember it, but it was eerie. It was like he was claiming to be one of those Greek gods.
Well, it was brought from Germany. They brought it all the way over from Germany, and they set it up. Do you remember what happened? Because I'll never forget that. He stood, you know, that was the place where they tortured and killed Christians. It was where the seat of Satan was.
That was the throne of Satan.
Yeah, it was called the seat of Satan, yeah, where they tortured Christians. But Do you remember what happened? He was standing on the stairs, and there next to him was General. And they stood there, and what happened was he had a fly kept landing on his lip.
Yeah.
It landed on the left side, okay, and he would swat it away, and it would come back and land right back there again. What thought came to your mind when you saw the fly landing on his lip?
Beelzebub, wasn't he the Lord of the Flies?
Lord of the Flies, the Lord of the Flies. I thought about this Beelzebub. And then, do you remember what else happened then, that night?
No, that's all I remember.
A rat walked across the stage, across the steps, because he was standing on there, I think it was like three or four steps. A rat walks there, gets halfway across and stops. And everybody's looking, everybody's quiet. And then the rat scampers off. But that was, it was kind of memorable, you know. When I think about that too, I want to go to Isaiah 14 real quick and say, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and how art thou cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will also set up on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights. Do you know what that word, look that word heights up there in verse 14, John in the Hebrew, and do you know what it is? It's Obama. It's spelled U-B-A-M-A, but it's pronounced Obama, Obama. And then here it says, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The clouds are what? Refers to two groups of angels and saints, angels and saints. And so here, and I will be like the Most High, the Most High. When that word, Obama in the Hebrew, means the highest is what it means, okay? And so it's an interesting thing that you say that, and then if you add now that is Obama. If you go to, and you take off the UG and just put Obama, and you go over to Ezekiel chapter 20 and read me verse 29, if you would.
Okay, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day.
Now, that is where they sacrificed children. They sacrificed children, okay? And so, now, the actual definition is, And Bama, the actual first definition, the primary, actually is heaven. It's heaven. But there it's used as the high place. It's a secondary where they sacrifice their children. And so here you got Barack Obama here between those two where they sacrifice. Here's the most pro-abortion senators in the history of the entire United States. Real quick, jump over to Mark chapter 10.
Okay.
And in Mark chapter 10, let me see. Am I doing the right thing? Let's see, Mark. I gotta hold on a minute. Okay. Well, you know what? Let me try Luke chapter 10. I think I might be having one of my senior moments. Luke 10, verse 18.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Luke 10, verse 18.
Yep.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven.
Okay. When you read this, I beheld Satan as lightning. That word lightning, up, look it up in the Greek, okay? Do you know what the word is in the Greek? Barak. Barak. That's Barak. Now, do you know what the word heaven there is in the Hebrew? You just read it out of over there in Isaiah, or Ezekiel and Isaiah. It's Bama. So here you've got Barak, fall from Bama, from heaven. Do you think that's just a coincidence?
I don't know what to make of it, Ernie.
Well, look that up, both in the when you can remember to, both in the Greek and the Aramaic. And we will be back right after this.
Minnesota does not require ID to vote. Additionally, Minnesota has a law that says if you go to vote, you walk into the polling station, you can bring 8 additional people who are not registered to vote, and you can vouch for them. When you vouch for them, they register to vote on the spot, and then they vote. So the law is very vague. We ran into some polling stations. None of them required ID from me. But I tried to vouch for, I said, I have 8 other people in the car, and they were not going to. Some places required ID for those 8 additional people. Some didn't. But we have several where, we walk in, they're like, no ID from anybody. So I would walk into the polling station with this on, pretending to be a Muslim woman. And I would say, I'm here to vote. This is the name, and it's the name of an actual registered voter. The intention here is not to actually vote. It's not to touch a ballot. It's not to sign an affidavit. It's just to expose the vulnerabilities. And so I would ask, do we need ID? I'm talking just like this, pretending to be a woman, and they're buying it. The name we're using is the name of a female person. One of them was Genevieve, and they were fully prepared to allow me to vote without an ID. And then they were going to allow me to bring 8 other people, and they wouldn't have to use an ID either, and they would all vote same day on the spot. Now, the terrible part about this is, let's say somebody actually wanted to do this. Our intention obviously was never to actually vote. Let's say somebody's intention was to actually vote. Well, that poor person whose name got used, they're going to show up to the polling station, and the pollsters are going to say, sorry, you already came in to vote. We can't allow you to vote twice, but that person never actually came in to vote. All you need is a name and an address or date of birth. Date of birth and address are interchangeable. They're going to ask one or the other most times. I had several where they didn't ask me any of those things. They just asked me for my name. So all you need is those 2 pieces of information, those 3 pieces of information, and you're good to vote. So your neighbor, if you know what year he was born, if you know what month he was born, if you know where he lives, his address is your neighbor. You probably know where he lives. And you know his name. He's your neighbor. You probably know his name. And if he tells you, hey, I'm not going to go vote today, you can go vote in his name. You have all the information required in Minnesota.
Also, if you're wearing a hijab, how do they know who these people are?
That's the other thing I kind of highlighted.
Even if you have an ID, even if you're like, this is who I am, how would anyone ever know, in fact, that that's who you are?
Couldn't. I mean, I think it should be fully illegal to wear a face covering to a polling station to vote. Because as you point out, even with an ID, there's literally no way to verify that person's identification. But Minnesota doesn't actually care about verifying your ID in the first place. They weren't going to verify my ID at any step. They weren't going to, not even a utility bill. Literally nothing that would prove that I am the name that that we had. Nothing to verify that I'm that person. And they were fully prepared to allow me to vote.
So you could just get 8 buddies and put them in hijabs, get in a van, and just drive around Minnesota and Minneapolis, and you could vote at every single polling station you go to by vouching for them. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean,
just the same 8 people in hijabs. I mean, how is anybody ever going to check who they are.
Yeah, I mean, those
are
had at least six different opportunities to fraudulently vote in somebody else's name and also have eight other people fraudulently vote. And you could just go to each polling station all around this. As long as you've got names and addresses, you're totally good. You can vote as many times as you want. That's the problem with this lack of voter ID.
All righty, we're back. Andy, there was a part in that, and apparently you don't have it, that where you had Joe Biden talking about how they had came up with, and he said this, Biden said this, that they came up with the very best program on election fraud, the very best program on election fraud that they produced to get Barack Obama elected. Now, Joe Biden said this. I don't know if he was at one of those times when he didn't know that he was telling the truth or what happened, but we have Joe Biden in that, in both video and saying that they came up with the very best. Now, they have this now, and they're using that. They're going to keep going after the Justice Department. They're going to use that to go after Obama, and I don't think they're going to bother with Biden. What do you think, John?
I don't think they can go after Biden, Pastor Ernie. I mean, his mind is literally gone, and there's talk, I don't know if it's true or not, but that cancer in the prostate has really spread, and it's into his bones now. So he's old, his dementia, and physically he's probably in his last leg, so they're not going to bother him.
No, I don't think they would either. But they might go after Obama, so because that was done before he was president, that was something he was not yet president. They used the very best, they said, program, again, on election fraud to get him elected. Anyhow, what do you think about what's going on with this Luigi Maggioni?
Yeah, this is weird. All of a sudden, he's rushing to plead guilty to federal charges when the state, he faces a death penalty. What's going on? I mean, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, as far as I'm concerned, he's pleading guilty to federal charges, and he admitted in court that he murdered him and did it willfully and all that.
Well, he's making a deal so he won't be charged with murder in the first degree. Right. That they'll drop it down so that he won't get the death penalty, and they're hoping that they can cut it down from life, okay? And so they're going to see how this judge, when the judge sentences him. But here's the thing. They've raised his supporters, people who go out and they've raised money. They're a hero. He's their hero. He's a back shooting coward. So what kind of people do you think would have a back shooting coward as a hero?
Oh, the Democrats.
Somebody with absolutely no integrity, right?
Right, the Democrats.
And so, yeah, they couldn't have any possible integrity. They would have to be people that that are lesser people.
Obama, Pastor Ernie, this is so bizarre. I mean, it's hard to believe it's real, but his attorneys were putting out requests for women to stop writing to this guy.
And so
he had so much mail that they couldn't handle it. And I'm speechless. I'm a cold-blooded murderer, and these women were fascinated by it.
Do you know the same thing happened with Sam Shepard? You know, in the Marilyn Shepard murder case, you had all of these women were fascinated when writing him, you know, Sam Shepard. And so
that was before my time, Pastor Ernie.
Well, Actually, I was called in. I was pulled in, and they questioned me about that murder case. And I was 7 years old at the time it took place, back in the 50s. And so, back in the early 50s, I think. Anyhow, but they pulled me in, and they questioned, what do they call that when they pull you in? I'm having my senior moments tonight. You know, when they
interrogate you?
Interrogate, but there's another name for it. I'm having one of my senior moments now, but that's happened to me on numerous occasions. But, believe it or not, do you know, his son, Chip, and I are the same age. We were the same age. And do you know why they pulled me in to interrogate me?
I couldn't imagine if you were 7 years old.
Yeah. Well, it's because the people they charged with killing him, I was their pastor. And Inmate Fisher, who I was his pastor to, and it's not a good night here for me tonight because I'm feeling under the weather, but the guy that they charged with, his last name started with an E, and it'll come to me, but I was his pastor for years. And here, what happens, inmate Fisher was Sam's cellmate for 10 years. And Richard Eberling, when they charged Richard Eberling with that murder, Richard Fisher called me. They're both Richard, yeah. And he said to me, that's Sam never killed that Eberling fella never killed Marilyn. Sam did. And I said, well, how do you know that? Because all these years, Richard Fisher would mention to me about Doc. He just said, Doc this, Doc that. And I didn't know all that time that Doc he was talking about was Sam Shepard, okay? And when I asked him, I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because Sam told me he's the one that killed his wife. And so I put him on the radio. I put Richard Fisher, on the radio, and he told the whole story. That's why they pulled me in, because they wanted to know what else I knew. And I was Eberling's pastor. They murdered Richard Eberling there in the hospital there down at the Orient. And I warned them, the warden, that they were going to do that. I said, they're going to try to get him, and they did. They murdered him down there to shut him up. But anyhow...
Obviously, Pastor Ernie, you weren't 7 years old.
Well, I wasn't. I was 7 years old when the murder took place.
Right.
Okay.
I was just kidding, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. But anyhow, when they called me in to interrogate me, huh? So
yeah,
that was
right.
That was a very interesting time. But anyhow. That reminded me of that. We had parents who demanded abortion now have custody of a baby, Gabriel, after surrogate risk everything to save him. Now, here is a good lady, McKenna West. She's an Alaska nurse and the mother of two, rejected the biological parents' demands to kill that little baby for an abortion after a 20-week diagnosis of hypoplastic left heart syndrome, a serious congenital defect that requires multiple surgeries, but is treatable. West fled to Texas for legal protection and specialized care, giving birth to the boy, whom she named Gabriel last Wednesday. Well, that was this past. Anyhow, 28-year-old surrogate McKenna reveals an abortion was scheduled in Seattle for the baby Gabriel. She escaped to Texas to give her birth to her little boy, saving the life. His life doesn't have a price tag on it, she said. See, the parents, when they found out they wanted her, that it had a deformity, they wanted her to kill the baby. Hats off to her, and shame on those parents. Every life matters. No woman should be forced to end the life of a baby she is carrying, including me. Baby Gabriel should receive a chance of life, West told the New York Post. Biological parents, Nusheen Gilkar, boo, and Omar Ahmed, who referred to the child as Rumai, have now custody while he receives medical treatment, according to their attorneys. I would have never put that baby back with those people. What do you think, John?
Oh, that's what I was thinking, Pastor Ernie. Oh, that baby's just a liability to them now, that's all, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what you can do. No, they should never have given that baby back to that to them.
And here, if that baby had been born in California, you could kill a baby up to 28 days after it's born. Here, the Gateway Pundit previously reported Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, yay, yay for Ken Paxton, huh? Secured an emergency court order mandating life-sustaining care and barring any attempt to remove the infant from the state ahead of the August 25th hearing. A separate temporary restraining order prohibits West from claiming to be the child's parent or making medical decisions on his behalf. West's attorney, Lincoln Wilson, has declared that under Texas law, the woman who gives birth is the legal mother and vowed to challenge California court orders as void, saying the fight will go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Good. She's seeking a parentage of the child because she gave birth in Texas, and in Texas, if you give birth to a child, it's your child, Wilson stated. West has publicly said she could not live with herself if the ending of the pregnancy and that Gabriel deserves to be surrounded by people who are 100% willing to fight alongside of him. Yay to her. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, absolutely right. I mean, it's kind of bizarre how you know, it wasn't her child, but it was her body. You know what I mean? It's weird. But she did the right thing in the end, for sure. And, you know, Paxton.
You know, I understand Paxton in the polls. Of course, we can't really trust the polls in that. But I understand that nutcase is ahead of him by 4 percentage points in Texas. Have you heard that?
No, one just came out today, and that's not... You can't believe those polls. Another one came out today, though, and said Paxton is like four points ahead.
You know? Well, all righty. Well, this country, if these people don't, they can't see what Trump is trying to do. I'll tell you, any of these people out there that say, well, they don't have the guts to stand in, and I know I've got to pay those high prices of gas too, but it's part of this. But we have to back the president. We're not privy to the information he has. In my lifetime, there's no president that's done as good a job as Donald Trump. He's not perfect by any means, but in my lifetime, what do you think, John?
Well, you know, of course, I have a big soft spot in my heart for the Gipper. You're not gonna forget the Gipper, are you? You know, President Reagan.
No, the Gipper.
The Gipper. That was a nickname for him. Trump is like a never-ending high-powered engine, just roaring. I mean, every day it seems like he's doing something good.
Well, yeah. If you take a look at what he's done, here's a guy that he closed the border. Here's, you know, here the Democrats, they brought in all of these rapists, all of these murderers. The Democrats, they'll always defend the criminal over the victim, because Democrats are mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 5. They'll call good evil and evil good, sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Whatever is in opposition to what God's word, the Bible, teaches, that's what the Democrats hold to. And so,
we've seen it, Pastor Ernie, and through the years, they progressively, at one point, Pastor Ernie, there were numbers of Democrats that were strong pro-life. And now, I don't think there's one left. I don't think there's one Democrat, House or Senate, that is pro-life.
And no, I know. They've gone completely absolutely completely reprobate. There's nothing. They don't have anything in their whole platform that's got any good merit to it. It's all absolutely evil. 100% evil. I have the printer, Newberry Printing, that does our printing, prints our newsletter, and that his store, his print shop, is literally 6 inches through the wall from the Communist Party headquarters there. Now, in both of them, they have these big, long windows in the front. And Bill has got his whole window front of his store, Newberry Printing, filled with Bible verses and pro-life. They got a big sign of a baby, a precious baby, saying the Democrats didn't get me. Another one says vote pro-life, but he's got Bible verses there. And it's driving the Democrats crazy that he's right next door with Bible verses. They really, really hate the Word of God. Speaking of that, pure evil. We talked about this yesterday, but it's good to talk about it today again because it should be. Massachusetts governor signs law allowing abortions up to birth. This is murder, plain and simple. Massachusetts Governor Mari Haley. Now, this woman, according to God's word, the Bible, this is an unclean woman. And that she's surrounded by all of these other wicked women. All of these women are like, as far as I'm concerned, they're witches. Every one of them, they're applauding the ability to kill an innocent child. These women are unclean. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34. They're wicked to the core, to the absolute core. Here, Governor Marahiti just signed a law that permits women to kill their babies at any time in the pregnancy for any reason. In other words, pregnant women can now legally kill their baby up until birth. Like I said, in California, you can kill them after birth, and I believe the same thing is they want to do in the state of Washington. And I heard that New Jersey had a bill like that. And here,
Pastor Ernie,
yeah.
I saw that in Massachusetts, what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And did you see they were having, it was like party time?
Yeah.
Did you see, again, with the joy and glee, I mean, the worst I ever saw was Cuomo in New York. It was during COVID that they signed that law that they could kill up to birth, and it was a regular like festival party, and that it was that same type of atmosphere there in Massachusetts when she signed it. All the ones surrounding her there was like the greatest law they've ever passed.
I know. I'm looking at this. They're laughing. They're smiling because they can kill innocent children. This time for an imprecatory prayer, and folks out there, join with me in this, because you have to push back hard against evil, and this is pure evil. And so I'm going to pray, and so join with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, this Mara Healy, Lord, and all of these women, and I'm looking at the picture standing with her, Lord, you said in your word that all of those that hate you love death. So, Lord, I am asking for the sake of the babies, for the innocent children out there, that you would deliver that death upon their heads. Lord, I'm asking you, and I hope people are praying with me, that you would deliver that death upon their heads. Father God, you know if they repent or not. And so, Lord, if obviously if they repent, you won't. But if without repentance, if they don't repent of that wicked evilness, Lord, I pray that you would deliver that very death upon the very heads of those women here in this picture. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. And I mean it. You see, I really do hold to, and we really do believe the Word of God here, don't we?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Why not? I mean, it is literally the Word of God.
Amen. Did you know, I wanted to tell you that Maggiano guy, they raised $1.5 million, $1.5 million for him, his supporters. And did you know that a Chinese Special Forces sniper has bought a building 650 feet from the White House grounds? Did you know that?
I saw the headline on it, Pastor Ernie, and they had a map, and they showed you where the sniper, what you mentioned, 650 feet, and then they drew a line, and apparently it was not impeded. It was like a straight line to the White House.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, in China, if you're an American citizen, you cannot buy land in China. Do you know that?
Yes.
They allow the corporations to build upon it, but the Chinese own the land. So, anyhow, we have another one here. You think we'd let this Dem congressional candidate forget what she said 5 years ago? And there are 435 House races every 2 years, so it's tough to keep track of all the candidates. But Paige Cognetti, the mayor of Scranton and the Democrat hopeful for Pennsylvania 8th District, is an illegal alien's best friend. You'd think we'd forget to wish her a happy five-year anniversary for one of the dumbest things said about immigration. On this day, she gave an interview, according to Mass Amnesty, and argued that the pathway to citizenship for all illegals was not only morally right, but also economically, and that done nothing wrong in her eyes. She doesn't know what that word illegal means. Yep, big business definitely appreciates that, Paige. You're keeping the pipeline of cheap labor well flowing. The illegal alien influence Joe Biden refused to stop, even drives American wages down. So giving free stuff and citizenship to illegals makes the American working class poorer. Yep, that sounds like you.
They drive wages down, Pastor Ernie, but at the same time, they've been driving the price of certain houses up that becomes unaffordable for the Americans.
Well, it's one of the reasons that the Gen Zers can't get houses. They're all of those illegals. Remember, he brought in Biden brought in 20 million. And how many people have died? How many people have died and been murdered by these illegal aliens that Biden brought in? He brought in thousands and thousands of convicted murderers, rapists, pedophiles, the very worst kind of people you can find. Biden brought them in. They got sleeper cells, and we've talked about this time and time again. All over this country, they have the sleeper cells awaiting the time. We're coming up to a hard break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.